think back. Think back to a time when you were the new kid on the block. A time when you're in an environment completely, almost completely unfamiliar. Imagine it's a new day of school and you've gone to one elementary school for, let's say, kindergarten through fourth grade, and now it's the fifth grade and you are at a new school. Or imagine going to middle school, a school that's fed by several elementaries, and so there's some people that you know and a lot of people that you don't know, and you're not sure how the relationships are going to come together. Or it's the first day of high school. Imagine being at a new job, especially at a new job, and you're glad you've got the job, but you had not planned on getting a new job. For whatever reason, you've had to leave your previous place of employment, and there you are in new. Or you have a new boss. Back when I was in Columbus, I had four senior ministers to whom I reported. It's not my fault that I had all four, and actually number three covered the bulk of my time there. But each one had to be read, understood, and you know, some are very intuitive, and they just think everybody else picks up on things intuitively as well. You got to learn to read them. Daniel and his friends came to a place completely unfamiliar to them where they would have to make their way, where they would have to succeed in life in the palace. If you look at your bulletin cover, you will see images from Biltmore House. It's been called America's Palace or America's Castle outside of Asheville, North Carolina. It's a lovely place and it's nothing Babylonian about it. But those are images that we're going to see over the next several weeks as we look at Daniel and the life of Esther and their lives in the palace. And two things I want to pull out from this story in chapter one is the power of small strategic habits and the question of when to go along and when to stand strong. The big issue that they are faced is diet. Now, again, they were brought in. They were very good looking. They were very wise. I think of that. I think of the illustration, and I know I've given this before. Of the family with three daughters, and all good got good heads on their shoulders, but one was very book smart. And number three was very street smart. Number two was the wisest. She seemed to combine the best of book smart and street smart. And when the father kind of wanted to get some insight from a younger adult, she was the one that he called. And so they had that wisdom. And they also had great social polish, very adaptable. And so they were the ones picked for this to be serving in the palace. And there were things at which they were going to go along, and we'll go into that in a moment. But there was one thing they said no was the diet. Now, did this violate their dietary codes? Was it literally not kosher for them? Had it been sacrificed to idols? Or was it a combination of both? And they said, no, in this small thing, we are not going to compromise. But this is also a habit. We're going to consistently work and we'd like to eat in this way. With a separate diet. We see here a power of a habit. Jesus shares of the ones who've been given talents to use. One given a lot, did a lot with it. One given a little bit, but was able to do something with it. One given a small amount, just one, didn't do anything with it. And that's the one who got in trouble. The whole point was, those who are faithful with small things will be trusted with large things. And we see that consistency creates a foundation for success and spiritual growth. Think of it in any kind of habit, a workout habit. It could be, you know, once a week, bust it out, and maybe that's what you need to do. But if you work real hard once or twice a week and don't do any other days, it's not going to do as much good as every day doing something small, but doing it consistently. Small habits of prayer, beginning a kind of prayer, making that more a part of your life, starting small and going from there. I've often thought about someone who'd shared with me, very excited, had gotten up early and had this wonderful kind of devotion of some devotional reading and scripture and prayer. And that was great, but was not able to maintain. For one thing, the person had not changed the rest of the schedule. It was not going to bed any earlier, was not eliminating anything from the calendar to do this much. And it's one of those, if I could do it over again, I would have said, that's great. And kind of once a week, you can pull off something like that once a week, a big one. But those other days, try something smaller. Small habits to build into something larger. We also see here when to go along and when to stand strong. This is very interconnected. Daniel, the name Daniel, means has reference to God. And he was known by Daniel, we gather, by his friends. But in court, he was known by Belteshazzar, a name that referenced a Babylonian god. Now, I guess in some sense, he could say, look, I know who I am, and my friends know who I am. Y'all want to call me by another name? That's your business, and I'll answer to that. In a sense of keeping his identities, keeping aware of his identities, many years ago, working at Sears in high school, was a nice lady there who was American, born in the United States. Her parents had immigrated from Greece, and they were told, give your children nice, good, American-sounding names. And so she was named Bessie. That's what you're going to find on her driver's license. But she also had her Greek name, Vasiliki. And so her husband might be like here in the sanctuary. You are talking after worship. He would refer to her as Bessie. They're at the car talking about probably a serious matter. He would call her Vasiliki. They automatically knew, when do we go use our Greek names and when do we use our American names? I knew someone in Virginia, an older lady in the church, whose name was Virginia, herself was Virginia, and that's what I called her. She was happy to be called that. Some of the ladies, her peers, would refer to her as Jenny. I mean, they'd go back and forth, Jenny and Virginia. Well, I knew, we kind of knew, the younger ones, you never call her Jenny. You call her Virginia. So again, names. That was an area where they knew where to compromise and when to not. They were not going to compromise on the food, but they could go along. Yes, we'll get this great Babylonian education, use what we can of it, but we're not going to have the food. And for this, it really requires discernment, understanding. Some years ago when I was preparing for marriage, I had some interesting advice from a gentleman and ultimately from a couple that for them, third time was the charm. It was a third marriage for both. They're still happily married. And he would say, I may not know what it takes to make a perfect marriage, but I know what to do. I know what mistakes to avoid. And one thing that he said was, pick your battles. And his wife was like, yes, I learned, pick your battles. They knew to pick their battles. Well, what sort of application can we make with this? And one is to start any kind of habits is start small and build from there. Prayer, importance of prayer. Take 5 minutes in the morning, maybe going to bed a little bit earlier, getting up a little bit earlier and using that time with prayer like this will be, or my ritual, or 2-3 times a day. Again, small amounts, but I'm going to make that a regular part. After lunch, before I'm going to get back to the desk, I'm spend a couple of minutes. Start with small habits and also decide in advance your core values and when and where. What's something you can go along and where to draw the line. Now, I'm not sure when you're going to be in your Babylonian moment. I don't know when I'm going to be facing a Babylonian moment the next year, but to have a good sense of what my core values are in advance. Also from this story, we see the importance of courageous and respectful communication. When Daniel spoke to the fellow, he didn't say, "No way, I'm going to eat that stuff." He said, "Hey, look, here is a diet that we will stick with, we'd like to have. And if by end of a period of time we look even better for it, great. If not, we will go your route." And from that, it's really saw excellent. Often the best way of proving it is in your results. And the other thing we see here, finally we see, is accountability in the community. They were a group. They were not in it alone. They were in it together. Our first lesson comes from a temptation of Jesus. I have a sense that he was prepared in advance for that. He knew what was coming. Yes, it was going to be hard. Yes, it was extremely tempting. But decisions had been made in advance. We see from this lesson, the Holy Spirit is at work. And we trust that the Lord honors faithfulness, even in the face of challenges. So as we begin this series in Daniel, let us remember about the importance of starting small, a sense of trusting the Lord, and a sense of having core convictions. Through that, we can serve and even thrive in our lives in the palace. In Jesus' name, amen.